In today's episode, we bring back one of our audience's favorite guests, Dr. Todd Ovocatus. Dr. Todd is such a wealth of information that we just had to have him back for our series on trauma recovery. Join us as Dr. Todd explains the fascinating approach of mind-body logic and psycho-emotional medicine so that we can discover the underlying primary unresolved conflict behind any illness. In today's episode, we get to bring back Dr. Todd. So Dr. Todd, we came across him when we did the Science, Mysticism, and Beyond series. And my wife and I absolutely fell in love with Dr. Todd. He is probably one of the most brilliant people I have ever met that is also almost equally brilliant from a creative standpoint and from a spiritual standpoint. He's a very well-rounded person, and just I feel like I could bring him back literally every week and pick his brain on things and just tap some more of his brilliance because there's so much there. So Dr. Todd has a specialty in his practice outside of all of the other stuff he does with anti-aging and the pineal tones that we talked about in his episode with Science, Mysticism, and Beyond. But he also has a very specific area that he focuses on with psycho-emotional healing. And so we wanted to bring him back to really talk about this and how it works. And one of the main aspects of the things that he works with is called mind-body logic. And essentially, this wasn't a technique that he developed, but he's learned a lot about, and now he teaches these courses along with some other people. And at the heart of it is that underlying any illness, any disease is an unresolved conflict. And as long as that unresolved conflict exists, the disease process will continue. And it actually can be incredibly specific. They can break it right down. And in our episode, he goes through a lot of different conditions in different areas and explains what the underlying conflict usually is. And once that awareness is brought up, and then we are able to work with the conflict and resolve the conflict, many times the illness just starts to disappear. So join us in this episode because I think it's just fascinating. And Dr. Todd is really quite brilliant. Even at the end, he actually talks about what the primary conflict is from a mind-body logic perspective for SARS-CoV-2, the virus, which I think was also incredibly fascinating. So dive into this episode, and I hope you really enjoy it. And Dr. Todd will also be joining us for a live Q&A after show, and that will be Sunday, June 20th, which is Father's Day, at 10 a.m. Pacific time, 1 p.m. Eastern time. So in the episode here that you're going to be listening to, please go to the YouTube channel and write down some questions for us to ask Dr. Todd. So anything that you want to know, ask the questions. If you can come on the show live, then join the link live. It will be through the YouTube channel as well as our Facebook page. So Dr. Jason Loken, ND, both YouTube channel and Facebook page, and you'll be able to connect to either one of those to watch the live stream. At the live stream, you can also leave questions. So ask questions while you're there. If you have any specific ones that pop up, throw them up there and let's see if we can get Dr. Todd to answer as many of them as we can. All right, everybody. I hope you enjoyed the episode and I look forward to talking to you soon. Bye-bye. Hi, everybody. Welcome back to the Inspire Health Podcast. And as we continue on with our new series on trauma recovery from surviving to thriving. And today we've brought back Dr. Todd Ovocatus. So if you have been following our show, we've had Dr. Todd, I think, three times now, Dr. Todd.
Really so.
Yeah. So if you haven't checked out Dr. Todd's work, we have to keep bringing him back and tap his brilliance because Dr. Todd has so much expertise in very diverse areas. And so this being one of them with the work that we're going to share today around psycho-emotional medicine. And if you haven't seen the episode we did before with pineal tones, he was in the Science, Mysticism, and Beyond series. And we can even talk about that towards the end because I feel like that in itself plays a big role, probably on some capacity with trauma recovery. But I've gone through Dr. Todd's bio before in the past, but I'm going to pass it over to you, Dr. Todd, just kind of give an outline of who you are for everybody again. And then when they see the other episodes, they'll fill in all the gaps, but just pass it over to you there.
Sure. So,
and welcome back to the show.
Thank you. I love being with you and Taya too when she's available. The story, which is a little bit unusual for me, is that while I started in conventional medicine as a Johns Hopkins and Georgetown trained specialist in internal medicine with a subspecialty in pulmonary and critical care medicine, I got inspired to pursue something that would be called photoacoustics or biophysics, which has to do with how vibrations, and I started with light vibrations driven by lasers, how that interacts with tissue, how it interacts with biology. And we created a way to neutralize viruses without drugs. We created ways to enhance the biological activity of nutritional supplements and to regenerate tissue. We have now defined arguably the most efficient and effective way to awaken a dormant class of stem cells in the body and direct them where they can most be used to regenerate tissue. And without going into the details, we have more recent data showing that our treatments have the most profound measurable anti-aging effect of any methodology ever used before. And it all ties together into an interesting dynamic of ancient history, work that in some circles it's believed I've done in the ancient past with the temples of rejuvenation, to the current, doing similar work just with modernized technology that's more portable and doesn't require being on mountaintops where it's cold. So that's sort of where it begins. So I'm primarily a specialist in anti-aging medicine and regeneration, rejuvenation. And at the highest levels, if you really want to make the body younger, you also have to make the mind and psyche younger. So it also fits into the ways one uses mind, body, being, and spirit to enhance rejuvenation and regeneration, as well as to boost consciousness and capability as well. So, well, on the one hand, I'm a medical doctor. I'd say my greatest interest is in the realm of human performance and human capability. The pineal tones come in, so that's the vibrational aspect of enhancing the physical and physiologic and energetic experience of being a living Homo sapiens. And it goes back to ancient times where there are particular tones and tonal patterns that were used that kept the body young a very long time if you use them in certain ways, that also created profound cohesion in a community. And they're very therapeutic in their own right. And beyond what happened physically, they also, I would say, expanded the net of awareness, able to be and perceive at higher and more refined levels. The pineal tones work had its biggest debut at an event in Maui at the end of the Mayan calendar, December 21st, 2012, the day the world in some circles was believed to come to an end. And it's reinterpreted as the end of one cycle and the beginning of a new, and an opportunity to recreate our world. And Lord knows with all this COVID-19 stuff, we've had a big pattern interrupt. We have an opportunity to look at everything we've done and been and say, well, where do we want to go from here? And do we create a grassroots movement where we, the people, literally decide what kind of reality we want to create and do something independent of what political and other forces might impose upon us externally? So the pineal tones as the sound vibrational correlate of the light vibrational correlate is something that is profoundly enhancing, and as you say, may well have a role in terms of how to create such a state of awareness and relaxation that the body can heal from deep trauma and regenerate into, you know, a higher and higher condition.
Beautiful. Well, and why I mentioned that around how I think that it could play a role in trauma is I just know how I feel when I'm listening to the different music. So the melody that you had recently sent to Tanai to listen to, and as we were talking, when I'm listening to it, I guess to me, when I'm working with healing in some capacity, you know, or just learning to even stay with sensation in my body for a longer period of time, I find that that's a really important aspect of things when it comes to healing, is just learning to stay with sensation that's arising in the body. And music can play such a really powerful, or tones can play a powerful way with sort of almost bringing certain sensation up and even anchoring it to some point. Mm-hmm. So I found when I would listen to that music, you know, different emotions would come up at different places. And I'm not necessarily attaching them to a storyline or anything. So it's almost allowing it, what it feels like to me is it allows my emotions to actually metabolize. It's almost like giving a place for them to come up and allowing them to just kind of run their course and take me on a bit of a journey with it without me getting too attached to them in any way.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Mm-hmm. Now, let's talk about the psycho-emotional medicine specifically. So can you tell me a little bit about what psycho-emotional medicine is and how you arrived at that specific branch of the work that you do?
Mm-hmm. Well, it's not that I'm the originator of it. I just learned about it and felt that it was a huge missing piece of the total equation. Mm-hmm. But the goal is to be healthy, pain-free, disease-free, enlightenment prone, awareness enhancing beings of higher and higher capability, then it's really a complete package. So any limitation that we have in our psyche or our being is going to continue to limit what we can be, whether it's health-wise or capability-wise or intellectual creatively. The phrase psycho-emotional medicine is a pretty big grab bag and can include many, many things. I'm sure the different speakers that you will have, other than what I'm going to present, will have different flavors, different methods, different perspectives on what predisposes a person to trauma in the first place. And then if someone is traumatized, how do you peel off the layers of it, heal the underlying wound, repair the psyche and the tendencies to recreate that issue so that a person can literally be healed and recreated in a new way. You know, more than just, you know, putting a band-aid on it, more than glossing over it, to actually create a true transformative process where the trauma and the predispositions to trauma no longer are a limitation to that person, literally creating a new level of freedom and a new level of well-being. Mm-hmm. So with that as a preface, the specific area that I'm dubbing psycho-emotional medicine, and it really has a better phrase that I like from one of our mentors in the area, which is integrative psychobiology. And I believe that will encompass much of the information that other specialists in this area will provide. The root concept in this area, and it's had various names through the years. It was originally called the New German Medicine, developed by this super bright person named Dr. Hammer. And it had other names as it went through the years. It was taken further by a Frenchman named Claude Sabat. And then there are now three other leading pioneers, which are the ones that we work with and bring to teach, who are Enrique Buran from Uruguay, Dr. Fabio Brotos from Uruguay, and then we have our very own Isabel Benarus, who is French by origin and who is now in the LA area. And both she and Enrique were students of Claude Sabat, who was a student of the originator, Dr. Hammer. And the core concept of this, and now we tend to call it biological decoding. And there's even a biological decoding app for those who want to know the decodings for various things. And the reality is that it's somewhat helpful, but to really make use of the decodings, it's not just knowing what the conflict is for an issue, but what is the art of something that is buried deep in the psyche and literally hidden from consciousness, because it creates greater safety for that person, at least in their perceived experience, if they bury it, as opposed to making it present in their awareness so that they can process and release it. The core concept in this whole area is that a severe shock lived in isolation then creates a dynamic in the brain where to keep from this trauma becoming so overwhelming that all we ever do is think about it, all day long. It keeps us from sleeping. It distracts us and exhausts us. That rather than be in a state of distraction and exhaustion, which is what was the greatest danger to living creatures for millions of years. Now, if you say, well, what's the biggest threat to your survival? What are the leading causes of someone, you know, not surviving? And you say, well, you know, it might be heart disease or diabetes or lung disease or maybe COVID-19 these days, or the vaccine for that matter. That's a different story.
A whole different story.
A different subset of the total narrative here.
Yeah.
And that's not today's topic.
Maybe another day. Another day, though. The Inspire Health Podcast will be right back.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
If optimizing your health and well-being is on your to-do list, then let Revive Active, Ireland's number one supplement brand, help you put back what life takes out. All-in-one comprehensive formulas created to offer you maximum benefit, whatever stage of life you're at, and with a range that supports everything from immunity, energy, cardiovascular health, joints, cognitive function, menopause, and even beauty. We've got you and your family covered. Premium ingredients packed into a powerful daily sachet. Simply mix with water to activate for a flavorful health drink. Perfect at home or on the go. Revive Active. Available at selected Holland & Barrett stores, Well Pharmacies, and online at Amazon and reviveactive.com. Super supplements for a super you.
When you vacation with Norwegian Cruise Line, every day is a new day. Get a taste for Barcelona, then savor incredible dining options back on board one day. Connect to ancient history in Athens, and then disconnect completely in our spa another day. Wherever the sea breeze takes you, come aboard and experience a different tomorrow with NCL. Visit ncl.com, call your travel agent, or call 0333-336-1472. Norwegian Cruise Line, Ships Registry, the Bahamas and USA.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
For millions of evolutionaries, actually billions, if you go back to the origins of life on the planet, the greatest threat to survival was either being exhausted or distracted, because in those states you were subject to a predator. And if you're a predator, it was unsafe to be exhausted or distracted. So this whole idea is that a severe trauma, if you don't express it in the moment, if you don't release that emotional content in the moment, it codes in the brain. And the extraordinary elegance of this system, and the reason I love it so much, even compared to other methods that have had powerful results, there are some methods that are general, and like NET, TFT, EFT, there's all those. And I'm sure through the course of what you do, you'll define, you know, what those mean, like emotional freedom technique and EFT.
Neuroemotional technique, NET.
Right, et cetera. And there are many others in those categories. Psyche, which Dr. Bruce Lipton has promoted and supported through his book, especially The Biology of Belief. And all these concepts are really integral. What I especially like about this system, biological decoding, is that there really is a precise psycho-emotional landscape that has been a cartography of the mind built over the past four decades. And what I mean by that is, based on the subjective experience of a traumatic or shocking event, that is how it encodes into the brain and into the biology. And let me give an example to clarify that. So one of the teaching metaphors is the story of the fox and the hare. And in this story, the fox is really hungry and is looking for food and is very excited and relieved when he sees a rabbit, and quickly kills the rabbit and is about to eat it. And just as it's about to enjoy its well-needed meal, because he's starving, he hears wolves. So he has a choice. He can either take his time and eat the rabbit properly, in which case he himself becomes food, or he can bite off a leg and run away. So he does the latter because survival instincts take over. And now he has something in his stomach that really is essentially indigestible. It's not really designed to eat the whole thing, your hair and bones and all. And in this metaphor, he adapts to that situation by creating a super stomach. So the stomach actually, under that need, begins to build more layers, creates more cells that make acid and digestive juices. And this super stomach, with its augmented acid and digestive juices, are able to digest the leg. And once that's done, though, once he no longer has a need for a super stomach, then his biology supervenes and his brain supervenes. It's okay, well, I don't need these extra cells anymore. And they literally slough off. They might even actually have some bleeding for a while when that unneeded stomach lining sloughs off. Now, let's do an alternative story. And let's say that a person helps somebody out. They didn't really know them that well, but there's someone who's sort of down and out. They don't have a job. They don't even have a home, and they take this person in. They give them a job. They give them a trusted position. They build them up, and he has a thriving company. And then, out of the blue, this person that he saved basically then steals all the money. Say there's $2 million in the bank account, and he takes every penny, and he's gone. So this isn't a rabbit bone in the stomach, but it's an indigestible situation. He can't digest this experience that the person that he helped so much could do this to him. And in the realm of decoding, rather than be completely consumed. So the first thing that would tend to happen is then you would just think over and over, how did I do this? Why did I do this? Why did I let him do it? Why didn't I take precautions? Why did I not see the signs? Why didn't I have precautions? Why didn't I have insurance? All these things. So the person could be literally not sleep, not eat, not drink, and be so totally exhausted and distracted that he might get run over by a bus the next day because he's not paying attention, and there are dangers out there. Not lions and tigers and bears anymore, but there are still dangers in the modern world. And in the context of this style of psycho-emotional medicine, the basic concept is that the function of the subconscious is to do its best to ensure our survival into the next moment. Doesn't care about a year from now, not even a month from now, not even a day from now, not even an hour from now. It concerns about our surviving into the next moment. And the brain has as its material to work with the cells of the body. So in this concept, many conditions in the body are the brain creating a solution. So most types of tumors, for example, in the psycho-emotional sense, would be considered the brain creating a super organ for a survival purpose. So in the case of the friend, or not, probably not a friend anymore, the person who you befriended and gave a job that stole all the money, that's an indigestible experience, and it translates to creating a super stomach. So like the hair that created extra cells so it could digest something indigestible, the brain can give the same signals, you know, through the evolutionary history. If you need a super stomach, you create more cells. And without relief of that issue, more and more cells will pile up. And biologically, if an endoscope were passed into the stomach and a heaped up area was seen and a biopsy was taken, it would look like a stomach cancer. And because there isn't an end to it, because the bone doesn't digest, that process will continue unless the emotional driver for that process is not interrupted.
Okay.
So far?
Yeah. No, I understand where you're, and when I was going through the material, I was like, this reminds me of New German Medicine. We're even going to have someone actually on the series talking about New German Medicine as well. So it'll be a nice sort of segue. And sure. I know in some of the work I've done before, I've done some work with New German Medicine. And essentially, like, for people that aren't familiar with that, it's this idea where these emotional shocks can then be the emotional shock and then the unresolvement around that emotional shock that then basically creates changes in the biology. And then we start to see what we would term as a disease or a pathology that would show up in the body.
Right.
So if we take that from, say, an example for trauma, because let me
complete the discussion. So
sorry, go ahead.
There's a more complete understanding of it. So that when we talk about trauma in general, there will be a context for understanding it. Because every type of trauma occurs only because we have the psycho-emotional predisposition to create it for ourselves.
Yeah, that's an important topic that I want to pull into, because that one's sometimes a hard one for people to understand or to grasp, but I think that's a really important foundational one to really break that cycle of trauma from occurring right. over and over and over again. So I'm really glad you brought that up. So yes, right. Carry on.
Well, I'm going to first broaden the perspective and then narrow down on this specific situation. So what's important to the brain and the biology is not so much the incident, not so much the physical details of what was happening in the material world. What's critically important is the perceived experience of it. So with this scenario where your best friend and a person whose life you resurrected or salvaged and you think should be incredibly loyal to you, your best friend who has now stolen all the money and ruined you, one way of experiencing that is as something that is indigestible, and then it will affect the stomach. It could be interpreted as the perceived experience that, oh my God, I don't have any money, I'm going to be lacking, and the stress of lack will go to the liver. Or it may be, oh my God, I'm abandoned and alone, and the abandonment conflict will basically cause the person to behave in such a way that they gain a lot of weight. So weight gain, overweight, even obesity, the core conflict is abandonment. Because the way we survived in the wild, if we're abandoned, is we get big. Either we get big or we get like lean and fast. So you either get big so you can scare off the predator, or you get small and lean so you can slip through cracks and run away. One or the other. It goes either way. the conflict could be, God, I'm such an idiot. How could I do that? And have an intellectual evaluation, and that'll affect the brain. That's how, in the psycho-emotional medical world, a person can create brain cancer, or the most aggressive being glioblastoma, an intellectual evaluation.
The Inspire Health Podcast will be right back.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Hey, are you tired of the irritation you get down there from pads and other bladder weakness products? Tena Sensitive Care Pads are the first ever bladder weakness pads enriched with a skin comfort formula. The skin-friendly layer in combination with the soft, 100% breathable materials helps protect intimate skin from irritation. And as always, you have triple protection from leaks, odor, and moisture. Gynecologist tested and dermatologically approved by the Skin Health Alliance. Look for Tena Sensitive Care Pads with the skin comfort formula online and in stores now.
Apples and pears, beef and Skittles, cider with Rosie, common or garden, Ant and Dec. Fish and chips, mum and dad.
UK Health Radio and Health Triangle magazine. Each is good by itself, but enjoying both is always better. Add Health Triangle magazine to your monthly health regime. Check it out at ukhealthradio.com. Strawberries
and cream. A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
The conflict of separation, because it's your best friend and you want to be around him, and it'll affect the skin. So depending upon, or it can be a conflict that I won't have the money to survive, and it's a threat to actual survival, and it'll affect the lungs, because the lungs are living, literally breathing into the next moment. So you can see the same events can have quite a different perceived experience, or it can be, it's usually about the second or third year that the people steal all the money. It's what I expect, I'll get a loan and I'll be okay. Or it can be not a stress at all. It probably would be, but not everything that you think would be a big stress may be a big stress, and there may be no adverse consequence from it. So part of understanding the way we work, the way our brains and psyches work, and how to unravel it and free ourselves of these debilitating unconscious conflicts that limit what we can do in our human potential, and which can translate themselves in our biology to diseases, is really this understanding that it's our perceived experience that's critically important, and that part of our goal is to resolve conflicts, whether there's things that happened in our recent lives, whether things that happened in our childhood, whether they're stresses that occurred that we took on even during gestation, or whether they are conflicts that are from our ancestors that have not been resolved for our clan. We take on that as well. Mm-hmm. And there are interesting factors. For example, if you're named after someone in your genealogy, then in this context, you were born to solve their unresolved conflicts. If you have the same birthday as someone in your genealogy, you were born to resolve that which they didn't resolve.
Yeah. No pressure, but
no pressure whatsoever.
But you know what that reminds me of, Dr. Todd? Tay and I were at a conference with Dr. Peter Levine once, and he does somatic experiencing. And he was actually doing some work with, he was showing a video where he was doing some work with some Aboriginal members of the community that had gone through their ancestors had gone through really atrocious trauma. And he was saying very much the same sort of thing, and sort of this generational trauma that can be passed along, mm-hmm. and that in the healing of that, those individuals at that point, when they actually resolve the trauma, when they healed it, that actually, and from their words, they felt that ripple back, is that it actually healed the trauma from their ancestors as well.
Right. Yeah. That is a basic principle, that if you heal a conflict in yourself, you heal it not only for your generations to come, not just for you, your children and grandchildren and beyond, but also for your ancestors going back up the line.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's actually really beautiful to think of it like that. Mm-hmm. And also in many ways, I know even when Tay and I, before we even had babies, before we started babies, we actually sat and had a conversation around as much as we could bring to the conscious mind, what were some of our big conflicts that we were working with. And the goal was to actually work on resolving them before we had children, in order to try to do the best that we could to not pass those on along the chain. So I do think it's a really important thing for people to look at. Now, I think a really important part is, so it's the perceived experience that causes all of the troubles. So Then the question is, so once we even maybe see or understand the conflict, how do we work with changing the perceived experience? Because That seems to be that's the part that grabs everybody. You know, it's hard to change. You know, if you're only looking at something from this one perspective, it's hard to actually genuinely feel something different unless you can find a way to see it from different perspectives. So what's the process to assist people with that?
Mm-hmm. Excellent question. And really the next part of the discussion. So we have our person who's developed a stomach cancer because of the indigestible experience that his best friend stole all the money. And there's two basic types of solutions. The first solution is that the friend comes back, gives back all the money plus 10% interest, apologizes, says it'll never happen again. You know, I was on drugs or the mafia made me do it, whatever the story is.
And the butterflies and rainbows come out.
Right. So one solution is the practical solution. That is the physical problem, the physical circumstances, the actual event dynamics are where the solution is. So it happens like in the physical world. So the person comes back, brings back the money, apologizes, does it with interest, says he'll work free for a year, what makes amends. And so the conflict is resolved. And then literally, at least in the psycho-emotional world, if there's that practical solution, having relieved the conflict over the indigestible experience, then the extra cells in the stomach really just slough off and it goes away. Even though medically it might be something that would require surgery or even removing the stomach, if the emotional root is cleared, the extra cells, which, you know, from the medical standpoint, as someone who's done all the training at the level of the top schools in the country, from the medical standpoint, we'd say, well, he might have been consuming carcinogens in his food, and he had a genetic predisposition to that issue, and he was drinking too much alcohol. That was a predisposing factor. Maybe he was a smoker, which raised that factor. Maybe he took certain medications that might have been a predisposition to it, and he was under a lot of stress, and he had certain bacteria in his stomach, that all these factors, taken all together, his microbiome was not ideal, that resulted in this aggressive proliferation of cells that was, a danger to him. That would be from the medical, biochemical, cell biology perspective. And the solution to that would be, the usual medical interventions, surgery, radiation, chemotherapy, immune modulation, and so forth. Whereas at the deep level of the psyche, it's the brain creating a super stomach to digest what's indigestible. And one of the key points here is that while we're talking about physical cells, as far as the psyche is concerned, there is not a difference. It's processed this essentially the same or at least similarly, whether it's real, imaginary, symbolic, or metaphoric. Mm-hmm. So if it can be any of those, so it doesn't have to be real, just be imagined. It can be a metaphor. It can be symbolic, that the brain will take that and create the solution. So if there's a metaphoric indigestible experience, that can also cause the process to code. Now, what's key to understanding, and what I really think is astounding about this whole body of work, and you know, I'm not a creator of it, I'm simply a student of it, that finds the knowledge profound and kind of a missing link in creating an optimal health and well-being platform, which is depending upon that perceived experience, it actually codes to a particular part of the brain. And if the stress is built up long enough and intensely enough, it can actually be seen on a CAT scan as an area that looks like you dropped a pebble in the water, and there is an expanding ring from that point. And that center point is the point of where that particular type of perceived stress codes into the brain. And when it codes into that particular part of the brain, it also translates to the organ affected. So to understand where to go without, you know, there's a whole different discussion about how you, upon knowing the conflict, assist someone to actually get to it in their own conscious understanding. In terms of the dynamic of understanding what the conflict is, based on the diagnosis, we know the conflict. Based on a CAT scan that shows an affected particular part of the brain, we know the conflict. And you know, based on what the patient or person describes, we know the conflict. So, but once we know the part that's affected, the diagnosis, or the part of the brain, once you know any of those pieces, we know the whole thing. Because each it's like a, it's a unit. Right, it's a whole map. So if we know that the stomach is affected, we know the part of the brain that's affected, and we know the types of conditions that will arise from it. And because we know the conflicts, then we can go about the next part of the equation. So if there isn't the practical solution, then the question is, you know, how do we release the trauma of the experience, the trauma and the isolation of it, so that the brain is no longer having to create a super organ, in this case, a super stomach. And that's where you really get into the art of the process. And the core course that is taught by Enrique Boran originally, and now Mary Kennedy has also been approved to teach the first and second modules, as have I, though, doing a lot of other things. So I'm letting her, how you say, take the baton on that part of the equation. That really teaches the psycho-emotional anatomy. It teaches the landscape. It teaches of what translates to what. So organ system by organ system, there are particular conflicts. And even with one diagnosis over another, there are subhues of those conflicts that are related. So there's like a general paradigm for an organ system, and then depending upon the particular part of that organ system and the way it's affected, there are further subhues and further refinements of the understanding of the conflict. So, for example, Steve Jobs succumbed to pancreatic cancer, but it was an unusual kind. Do you know the story?
No, I can't remember the story. I know it was pancreatic cancer, but I don't remember the whole story.
Mm-hmm. Well, typical pancreatic cancer is cancer of the head of the pancreas, adenocarcinoma, and that tends to be conflicts over inheritance, actually. And I'm actually seeing a few cases like that. And in contrast, though, the type of tumor that Steve Jobs had was cancer of the tail of the pancreas, and was an unusual hormone-secreting tumor called the glucagonoma. And what's interesting is that the conflict for cancer of the tail of the pancreas, as opposed to the more common type of the head of the pancreas, is the conflict of not having the name of the father. And Steve Jobs is adopted. So he didn't have the name of the father. He never actually got over that conflict, or else he wouldn't have developed that particular type of tumor and that unusual part of that organ. And that's how specific it is.
Wow. That's fascinating. For someone to heal from trauma from this perspective, do they need to then completely recognize with the conflict? Or like I'm thinking sometimes when people have, when it opens up kind of what healing actually means then, but sometimes when people have spontaneous healings and they literally like go into a different state or a different resonance where that disease state no longer kind of resonates at that same sort of frequency or vibration or however you would look at it, and mm-hmm. that the disease just no longer is sort of fits in with that realm anymore. Mm-hmm. But wouldn't they come out of that state? Would then that disease probably come back if there hasn't been an awareness of the conflict and a resolution with the conflict?
It's probably the case that when there is a quote unquote spontaneous healing, whatever it is, that the person has undergone a self-decoding process. You know, whatever it was in their environment, whatever discussion they had, whatever internal dialogue they had, that they effectively got to the root of the emotional origin of the issue, found the emotion of it, felt and processed the emotion, and were consciously aware of it, and that de-stresses it, the brain can heal, and the affected organ related to it can heal. So in those cases, I think it's generally the case that the reason for the healing is that there has been that shift in awareness, that release of the core issue, the emotional processing of it, and that means it should be essentially permanently relieved. Mm-hmm. It's unlikely to come back when in situations where that happens. So when we know the conflict, it's then the art of understanding how to give that person a backdoor into their subconscious. Sort of like, I don't know if you saw the movie Lawnmower Man.
No. I'll have to put that on the list, though.
The original was great. It's like one of those movies where the person who is a relatively simple person becomes, you know, a super powered brainiac and develops more and more abilities. And there's a point where he needs to find a back door into the system to be able to go to his next level. And it's kind of similar to that. It's like hunting for the back door. And the art of decoding is simply asking the right questions that create awareness. And it can be very quick because it's so precise, there are times that as little as one question is all it takes. So I like to go for three questions. Most practitioners do an hour to hour and a half initial process because there are also cycles of time. So for example, the person who has the friend who stole all his money, it's an indigestible experience, but that might not be his only indigestible experience. That could just be the most recent on a series of those. And it's the series of them that are continuing to build this conflict energy of that particular type of conflict in that particular part of the brain. So the questions would be focused around, you know, things that happened to them that were indigestible. So it would be asking questions about, you know, how did you perceive that when that happened? And, you know, get them to come to their own conclusion about it being indigestible. Really talk about it. Because the key of a shock or trauma that gets coded in the brain and what's damaging about it from the personal perspective is that when you bury this shock experience in the brain, not only are you creating this stimulus where the brain is working with the cells of the body to create so-called special solutions of survival, and that literally means what the brain is doing to the cells of the body so we survive into the next moment. And if that means creating what might be called a cancer today, the brain doesn't really care. If something might kill you 5 or 10 years from now, the brain cares about you living into the next moment. Because, you know, you may or may not procreate 10 years from now, but you could procreate in the next moment.
Right, right. is there, when you're doing the psycho-emotional medicine, when we are going, when they're making the connections and stuff, is there a process involved in the different stages that take place where they do get into the feeling state or back into the body? I know talking to a lot of other people, there's an importance of getting back into the body and feeling sensation in the body. Does that arise naturally, do you find, when you're working with people, when the conflict is recognized? Is there a part where that takes place?
Having the person experience the feeling is really important to get the clearing of it. One of the types of cases that are fun and easy are shoulder cases, you know, rotator cuff injuries or frozen shoulders.
Yeah.
Because there's a very specific conflict and it's usually just 3 questions. And, you know, I have like multiple cases and even video testimonials of people. Yeah. My shoulder, and I couldn't move it past 30 degrees for 7 months and, you know, nothing would help. The doctor said, maybe in 2 years it'll get better. You know, maybe I need surgery. And the first question is about the conflict of the shoulder, because the shoulder is about doing new work in the world. So our arms represent our work in the world, and our hands represent what we're doing literally from moment to moment, from day to day, our day-to-day activities. So conflict with your fingers or hands is your conflict with your day-to-day work. But the conflict with the shoulders is starting something new. And so if someone has a shoulder problem, you know that something new is going on with them that's big.
This comes to the end of our time for this episode. Please go to inspirehealthpodcast.com and listen to the remainder of this important episode. Thank you so much.